Hello again, everybody, and welcome to an all-new episode of the Wrestling Time Machine by Sportskeeda. Of course, you can find us on YouTube under WrestleBinge and anywhere you get your favorite podcast. My name is Mac Davis. I am your host, along with my two fantastic co-hosts each and every week. First of all, WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. Hey, Teddy.
Well, you almost threw the famer right there. I tell you.
WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long.
Yeah, what's happening, man?
Of course, our other guy that joins us each and every week is our pro wrestling journalist. And of course, he works at Sportskeeda as well. His name, Mr. Bill Apter. Hey, Bill.
Well, I'm also, you never mentioned this, but I'm also
for life.
NW for life, brother.
For life. Look here, we got several things that are going on that I want to bring up, and some of this is breaking news today. Today's been kind of a busy day when it comes to news and things that are being talked about right now. And one of those is Tony Khan and Vince McMahon working together. There's a lot of people speculating right now that Vince McMahon may very well get back into the wrestling business somewhere, somehow, within the next year. Your thoughts, Bill?
That's a possibility, but not with Tony Khan. No, no way, Jose. I mean, they say nothing in wrestling, anything can happen. That will not happen. No, not going to happen. Because think of this. With the allegations against Vince McMahon, does Tony Khan want that in his company? They got this guy in there who allegedly did all this horrible stuff? No way.
Teddy, your thoughts?
Well, I feel like this. I think that it would happen. And the reason I think it would happen, because that's how Vince operates. He will do what you think he would never do. Okay? I've watched him take something that was just a total shit and made spectacular money with it and made it work. So I just ain't gonna put that down. I mean, that could happen, and see, but Tony Khan is he ain't got a clue. Okay. No. So yeah, only thing Tony Khan needs to do is just sit back and listen to Vince. Okay. And he might become successful, but he ain't got a clue. So I'm just saying that could happen. And then I seen something today where there's something come out now that Vince has some proof where the girl signed the NDS or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and actually, we're going to get into that in just a minute, because there is something about NDAs I want to bring up as well.
But
before we get finished with Vince here and the Tony Khan possibilities, I do think, and I, after hearing some of this, my gut reaction is Vince. One thing that it seems like is just his background is that he can be vindictive, but quietly. He can stab somebody, but you don't know that he was the one that stabbed him.
That's true.
I think that he is going to be one of those situations where Vince is going to want to stick it back to somebody. And I think that's why we may see a Vince McMahon promotion, or more likely for me, maybe a special event where he actually promotes one big master supercard with all these stars and Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn running his cameras.
But wait a minute, Mac, let's back up for a second, okay?
All right.
Again, with the allegations, to do what you want, what you're suggesting that Vince do, you have to have good TV. What TV company is going to? I know they're going to Netflix. WWE's going to Netflix. Do you think that Vince McMahon might approach USA with a product of his own? That I could see. Once WWE goes to Netflix, Vince romances USA, says, I've all these years, I have made sure you people got great ratings. You got a great product. Bring me back in.
Teddy, you something you want to say? I kind of saw you biting at the bit there.
They already got TV. They've got TV through Tony Khan. Okay, TBS.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but they could go back to USA is going to be without a wrestling product.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. You're right. They could go back to USA, but I'm saying they already got TV.
Yeah.
Tony Khan has already got TV. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So I think that would keep them where they wouldn't have a problem getting TV, because it'll be under AEW and Tony Khan, not under Vince McMahon.
All right, let me talk about something else about Vince McMahon, because his name came to mind immediately today when I heard that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has banned non-competes. So that makes it kind of interesting to me for a lot of guys on the WWE roster, and what's happening as far as what happens when an individual is no longer with a company. Bill, have you heard any more news about this? Have you heard about the FTC ban?
Yes, I have. The non-competes, I think that in the wrestling business, it might not be taken the way it would with other businesses like an IBM or whatever you want to take it. I think a non-compete in the wrestling business, you know, is usually that you won't go to a competing organization for 90 days. It's not a fully, you can't do it. It's usually for a shorter period of time. So I don't know how that's going to work because,
I just, you know, the only way I can see that the non-compete situation would work in wrestling is if a guy leaves a company and he is paid through that non-compete time, you know what I'm saying, that while he's gone, he is covered, you know, financially, then I don't see an issue with the non-competes. I mean, that sounds fair to me, to be honest. Yeah. But Teddy, what are your thoughts, being a talent? How would you feel about a non-compete being dropped, and you can just leave one company and go straight to another anytime you felt like it?
Well, I would rather stick with the non-compete. You know what I mean? At least you got, like the WWE, I believe it's 90 days that you got there.
Correct.
Well, at least you're checking it. You're collecting a check for the next 90 days, because you don't know whether you can go to one company or not unless you've already worked that deal out. So when you did leave one company, you knew exactly you had a job and you were going to go right to work. But a lot of guys may get terminated. They may not, you know, have nowhere else to go. So they would need that 90 days. They would need to collect that check, man, to try to stay, you know, afloat until they, you know, got something going for them.
Yep.
I want to bring up something on a recent Raw. First of all, let me backtrack to our show from last week, or a recent show that we have done. We were talking about Sheamus and his body style when he made his return back to WWE. And during our conversation, I cannot remember if it was Bill or Teddy, one of the two of you made the comment that Drew McIntyre ought to give him a hard time about his weight, you know, about how he looked when he came back, because he could get away with it. And that would be a great, you know, build up in a feud. Damn if that didn't just happen.
I think Teddy said that.
I know one of the two of you did, so it must have been Teddy. And Teddy, you know, I'm sitting there just, I'm watching him, and I hear, you know, you get Drew McIntyre up there, and he goes, "What happened to you?" And he says, "You know, you look like you've had burger after burger after burger," and he's kind of referring to another thing in the thing. I thought it was a great promo. It was reality, and it felt real. I loved that comeback. But more importantly, it's like somebody may have been listening, because I don't think anybody else even made that comment but on this show that I can recall, to be honest with you.
Well, it was real. Okay? All you got to do is look at him.
He mentioned that they brought him back early, and they could have set this down, you know, Triple H and creative here, they could have set this down as an angle, and then they'll get Drew McIntyre training Sheamus eventually.
Maybe one day, but right now at this point, they looks like the feud is going to be Drew McIntyre and Sheamus against one another. So that should be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with the where Drew trains him. I wouldn't go with that. I'd go with just what they got, because Drew McIntyre is so good on the microphone with humiliation. He is great with humiliation. I think it's perfect, man.
Yeah, I think this is probably some of the best Drew that we've seen in a while, because just the way that he comes across on the microphone now seems a little bit more at ease. He's comfortable with that microphone now, and he's comfortable with laying in on people. I've always believed with Drew McIntyre, less is more. He doesn't need to lean into that accent real heavy and try to overdo it too much. because it takes away, it makes him feel less real to me. And when he can sit down and just talk like Drew Wood in the back, I start really believing in the guy I got on the microphone.
The big mistake, nothing against Damian Priest. I love him. He's great. Drew McIntyre should be champion.
Well, you never know. You never know. All right, look here. Cody Rhodes, his first challenger, it appears now, will be AJ Styles. Bill, your thoughts on that possibility of these two getting one-on-one?
Well, that's not true. He was in Europe. He defended against Shinsuke Nakamura. His first defense of that title on a premium live event will be AJ Styles. It will be one of the toughest matches that Cody has ever had, because I love AJ Styles' new pissed off attitude. I think it's very good and very strong. He'll put up the fight of his life, but Cody will retain the belt most likely. The other part about this is, and I don't know if you've heard this, is Cody has signed for a cameo part in a remake of the 1980s movie, The Naked Gun. Liam Neeson is going to play the Leslie Nielsen part. So we might have another wrestler like Roddy Piper, The Rock, John Cena, going Hollywood eventually, because Cody started out wanting to be an actor, and this could be that taste. And if that happens, who knows how long he's going to hold this championship.
True. Teddy, anything, your thoughts?
Hey, we're entertainment now. The whole business has changed.
Yeah, AJ, too, by the way. AJ's physique and his work just in the last year has been really good. And I swear, I think he's got some of the best. I know he's older than he used to be, but this guy is getting younger body-wise every year. It just looks incredible. It's, whatever he's doing, keep it up. Damn.
Sheamus could use him as a role model.
Yes, very much so. After Rhea Ripley had her championship, had to drop her championship. Try to say that twice.
Begging
championship.
Just begging you.
Due to an injury, everybody thought that Alexa Bliss, because she's the one that caused the injury, and she's the reason why Rhea had to drop the belt. In a Royal match, Royal Rumble of the women, they decided that belt would go to.
Are you talking about Liv Morgan?
Yes, Liv Morgan.
Well, you had said Alexa Bliss. That's why I was...
Did I say Alexa Bliss?
You did.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Let's back up. So Alexa Bliss did not...
All right, here we go. After Rhea Ripley had to drop her championship due to an injury she got from Alexa Bliss, she got from Liv Morgan. I'm going to do this every single time, but she got this from Liv Morgan. She was in a women's Royal Rumble type of match on the line. God, now I'm all confused. Bill, help me out here. Go ahead.
It was a battle royal. Battle royal. Go for it again. 5, 4, 3, 2. Hit it, baby.
After Rhea Ripley had to drop her championship, guys, due to an injury she got from Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley had to drop her belt, and it was due to an injury that we believe Liv Morgan was the reason why she got that accident and is being pushed out of WWE for a short period of time, or a long period of time. We really don't know. But in a battle royal that they had of the women to decide the new championship, everybody was expecting Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
But instead, we got Becky Lynch. Teddy, what were your thoughts?
Well, you know, so I'm speaking of that, now that last night I had a chance to watch it. I mean, and the reason I really was watching it, my wife, Nia Jax, was in there, so I was really why I was watching it. But I really enjoyed that last night. Those girls really worked their butts off, man. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable, man. That was really great. And to see Becky Lynch walk out with that, you know, I think they made the right choice on that, you know. It always has to be where you don't know everything, because you got the smart marks that they think they know it all. So it's good to swerve them sometime to let them know, no, this ain't what we're doing. We're doing it this way. So, you know, that's I think what they did was great.
You know, part of me thinks that maybe they had to do that because with Rhea Ripley going down to an injury, the angle that they were obviously going to pursue was with Liv Morgan. So they kind of had to put a pause on whatever that, you know, that storyline may have been. I'm kind of thinking that's why Becky Lynch actually took that belt for a period of time to kind of, you know, she's a champion. She's a great person to carry that belt. And if you had put it on Liv Morgan last night, who would she have gone to? You know, she would have missed the feud with Rhea, you know, because unless she carried the belt, I don't know. I love the fact that Liv Morgan didn't win. And because I think that opens the door to a lot more possibilities, especially backstage.
I think differently. I think Liv Morgan should have gotten it in case Rhea is going to be back for SummerSlam. And Liv Morgan could have been cheating and cheating and cheating until SummerSlam while defending the title. And then the fever for that revenge tour from Rhea, from Mommy coming back. And also, what was up with Dominic Mysterio kind of flirting?
That was something I was going to bring up, Bill. Yeah. You know, when you have Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan passing each other, and they kind of made this little reference to the two of them. They don't really acknowledge each other in any particular way, but you see them look at one another. I got a feeling that we're going to see Liv Morgan somehow wine and dine, you know, whatever you want to call it, Dominic. And I think she's going to take over as Mommy while Mommy is not there. And she could infiltrate into Judgment Day and cause serious problems so that when Rhea does come back, there's real fire for her to come back in and want to whip this girl's ass. Teddy, what do you think?
Go ahead, Teddy.
Right now, what we don't know is when Rhea is going to be able to return. That's the thing. We don't know. So you can't drag something out too long. So, you know, I think right now, in my opinion, I'm just going to try to wait and see, you know, what happens here, you know, for the say maybe the next couple of TVs, and maybe we can determine whether something's going to be at this next pay-per-view, SummerSlam.
Judgment Day is falling apart.
Yeah, you know, that was my initial thought before, until I saw the Dominic and Liv passing each other. You know, at that point, I kept thinking, well, you've got Dominic down with a legitimate injury right now. Rhea Ripley has a legitimate injury right now. So you only have Finn Balor and Damian Priest and is it J.D. McDonough? Is that his name?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that maybe it's time for that group to kind of maybe just disappear, quiet down maybe, and they go their own separate ways until Mommy comes back.
Well,
and
if Damian Priest doesn't want any part of them anymore. He already told them, leave me alone. And how do we know that Dominic's injury is legit? I think they're putting that as an angle for him to use in some matches, for him to interfere and
put one of those little Cowboy Orton deals going on there?
maybe. For you fans who don't remember that, look up Bob Orton's.
It's the wrestling time machine. I hope you know who Cowboy Bob Orton is.
No, I mean the injury. He had the cast on forever, right, Teddy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal, this was a surprise, was let go by WWE. I always liked Jinder. I even thought when they brought him back into the WWE, because everybody expected The Rock was going to show up, and instead, here's Jinder Mahal when they say a former WWE champion is coming back, and he comes out on stage, and it's just Jinder Mahal. And I say just Jinder Mahal, but everybody was expecting The Rock. To me, he was just one of those guys that I thought was a legitimate threat. He always looks like main event material. Teddy, was there anything about Jinder that just you didn't see working that may have been causing some problems?
No. Jinder, that team that they had, that they put him with, I can't. They were perfect for each other.
Yeah. Now his entire team has been disbanded. They've all been let go.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm just saying to you that was the perfect team. I mean, they went together like a hand in glove. So I don't know, you know, what the deal is there. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't have never let that guy away. I mean that and they look good. And Jinder was the right guy for him.
Yes. Bill, what was your thought when you heard the news of Jinder being let go by WWE?
Surprise! They haven't done anything with him. You know. It's funny when they talk about all the past WWE champions, they rarely even mention him. He's one of the nicest guys. He looks good. He's a good worker. So I don't know, budget cuts. Go ahead.
That's the only thing it could be, because even his mic skills were very good. He had great mic skills. He was good on camera. He looked believable, played the part. And that's hard to find somebody with all those qualities. So it surprised me to see that they let him go.
One of the things that's probably not on our call list here is one of the most sad things I have ever seen.
What's that?
Is that Cameron Grimes has been released as of when we're taping this today. And he put a video on Twitter crying that his whole life has been made up of WWE. Before his father died, he told him that he's been signed with the WWE and made him happy. And now years later, they've just released him. And it's one of the most heart-wrenching videos I have ever seen.
I have not seen that video. Teddy, have you had an opportunity to see the video he's talking about?
No, but these guys have to understand, you know, in this business, you know, nothing lasts forever. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can't do this the rest of your life. You may think you're doing good, and somebody else may not see that. You know what I mean? So I feel bad for him. He's taking it this hard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Golly, man.
My guess is, just based on what you were saying, Bill, my guess would be that Cameron Grimes, because he was one of the better, you know, young talent out there. I don't think he has anything to be concerned about. Maybe not working for WWE, but how many times have we seen people leave WWE, grow quite a bit, and come back and be a superstar? So it's just a part of the path that you're going to have to take. I hate to hear that he lost his job, but it's just part of the travel to get there. Wouldn't you say, Teddy?
Yeah. And then we don't know what he might have done.
That's true too. Maybe he just wasn't working hard enough. Although he had been the Cameron Grimes gimmick. Everything that he was doing recently was really seemed to be working quite well.
I think they brought him as far as they could bring him, and same thing with Jinder Mahal. They may have brought him to the top of whatever they could do with him, and they just don't have any new plans, anything creatively to do with him.
Finn Balor, obviously, creative has something for him, because Finn Balor has re-signed with the WWE, which is good news because he was a free agent basically coming up, and if he hadn't signed, a lot of people were trying to guess where he might go. I didn't think he was going to go anywhere. Did you, Bill?
No. He's WWE. He's a great young man, and his influence with the younger talents coming in, they all want to be like a Finn Balor, you know, the way he works and everything. So he's very good to have around. And he's one of these people who are very approachable in the dressing room area. And I think he's great for that company.
Teddy, have you ever met Finn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice guy, man.
He comes across like a sincere guy when you see him in interviews. He looks like he's almost like he's a little bit shy. You have to kind of get to know him for him to maybe the talk or something. Is that about right? Because that's how he appears. But he always seems like just a straight up nice guy, though. I want to talk about, before we get out of here, AEW's recent pay-per-view Dynasty. And I got to tell you, Teddy, I know you don't keep up with it, but Bill, the pay-per-view I thought was a fantastic show, especially the last three matches of the night. Off the charts. I don't know how one match followed the other, but it just seemed like everybody was just doing their damnedest to have the match of the night. I will say a couple of standouts to me, and I think was the best match of the night, was William Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
William Ospreay, I like how you say that. They all call him Will, but
yeah, that's good. But, you know, for me, it was just simply – I thought – for most people, they're going to say, oh, it was a long match. But that match was not long. That match told a story from the very beginning to the very end. Just one of the best things I've seen in some time. I know a lot of people online are saying match of the year already. It's a contender. It was a really good match. Bill, what did you think?
Oh, no, I thought it was, you know, a good old school match. A lot of high spots. a lot of technical wrestling. For some fans, they can't sit and watch a match that long.
They were so fast with their moves, though, Bill. That was what was so good.
It was a classic match. It was old school Brian Danielson against more of a new school, only because we haven't seen him as much. He spent so much time in Japan against Will Ospreay. It was a perfect matchup. The fans were very hyped for it, and those fans were not disappointed whatsoever.
And Teddy, I know you haven't seen the match yet, but I'm going to try to send that your way. I'm going to try to find it somewhere and send it to you because you would love this match. I think you'd look at it going, wow, this is how it's supposed to be done.
Well, my thing is this, like I said, I didn't see it, but just the name Brian Danielson tells me, you know, all I need to know.
Yep. Another match that you might want to check out too, Teddy, and anybody else who has not had a chance to see this pay-per-view, the AEW Dynasty pay-per-view, Samoa Joe entered the ring as champion for AEW and walked away after the bell rang, watching the hands of Swerve Strickland being raised as the first African-American world heavyweight champion in AEW. It was a fantastic moment. But more importantly, for me, I've been behind Swerve. You know, you guys know this because I've been saying this for a while. I love Swerve. There's just something, there's money written on him. And somehow, some way, WWE let him get away. Teddy, did you get a chance at all to see anything about this match?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send this to you. This is a really good match. It gave me back, for somebody who's a little bit older as myself, I can go back to the days when Ron Simmons became the first black champion in WCW. And watching that the other night with Swerve Strickland gave me a lot of those same feels. It felt real. It felt needed. It was right. It was the right thing to do. Bill, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, no. I'm taking color out of the equation.
Yes.
It was Swerve Strickland. It's his house. He did a great job. He's been around for many years in CZW and so many of the other independents and in Japan, and it's about time he did this. We haven't seen the last of Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is one of the toughest shooters ever, and I'm sure he'll be back, and maybe there'll be some rematches. But Swerve Strickland and that little side guy of Prince Nana doing the Teddy Long thing here.
Swerve.
Yeah, they're really the Swerve, right? But Swerve Strickland deserved this, not as a man of color, as a professional wrestler.
And I'm glad you said that, Bill, because that's what I wanted to say. I just heard Mac saying as the first African-American champion in AEW. Jesus Christ, come on.
Well,
he's the champion, AEW champion. They know he's Afro-American. They can look at him. He's black.
Well, here's the thing, though. The people who are watching or listening that don't keep up with that show, they don't know what color he is. And it is a big moment, I would think, for him individually, you know, to be the first African-American champion in that company.
There you go.
I just do.
There you go. You just going to stay with the civil rights. You just ain't going to let it go.
All right, look here, before we get out of here, Goldberg.
Matt Davis and his civil rights moment here, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, there's an old joke by Red Fox when we're doing this, where you're talking about African American, and somebody said to him, why don't you go back where you came from, to Africa? And he said, you want to send me back? Send me back to St. Louis. That's where I'm from.
Exactly. There you go.
Real quick, we don't have the time, but I'm going to squeeze it in anyhow. Goldberg does not appear to be a big fan of AEW while we're talking about AEW. He said he has spoken with Tony Khan a number of times, but he just finds that the company is, quote, too cheesy. So he doesn't plan on ever going there. Bill, have you heard anything else about offers that he may have been given from AEW?
No, I haven't at all. So what I'm going to do, you know, both he and I are Lantzmann. We're both Jewish. I'm going to pass over that comment.
Okay. I got the joke. Okay. Teddy, anything coming up for you, brother?
No.
No, boy, that was simple and easy. we all three are going to be in St. Louis. We're going to be in St. Louis coming up soon for the Fan Fest 2. And if you'd like to be there with nearly 60 legends, wrestlers, personalities, all going to be there that weekend. And of course, Bill, I'm seeing that the one man show is almost sold out.
Yes, all for that five night. Seats. All five seats have almost been sold.
actually, the tickets really are going well. So if you don't have your tickets,
I'm very flattered by that. And again, this isn't one of those one-man shows where we're talking about wrestling politics and what's wrong with our. It's a variety show. You'll have fun. There's contests. There's music. There's guests like Teddy Long might be there, and yeah, we'll have a good time.
Yeah.
So Teddy, I got the payoff, by the way. You will get a complimentary Fruit Adventure Tic Tacs.
No. Those are Tic Cracks. I know exactly what that is.
You know, fun editing this show.
Yeah, God, I'm sorry. All right, guys, we're out of time. I'm Mac Davis. That is WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long and, of course, pro wrestling journalist Mr. Bill Apter. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you at the after.
We got.
So now I got to do that as Red Fox. So some guy came over to me. He says, "You people are trouble." He says, "You black people, why don't you go to Africa where you